This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition and their new centerfire rifle ammunition, Terminal Ascent. Now, the Terminal Ascent has a slipstream polymer tip that helps flatten trajectories and initiates low-velocity expansion at longer ranges. The Terminal Ascent gives you match-grade long-range accuracy in a bonded hunting bullet, and it comes in a variety of cartridges, including the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 28 Nosler, the 7mm Remington Mag 30-06, and the 300 Win Mag. If you want to find more information about the Terminal Ascent, visit federalpremium.com, and while you're there, check out It's Federal Season, the official podcast of Federal Ammunition.
This is the Average Conservationist podcast, brought to you in partner with 2% for Conservation. 2% for Conservation's mission is to create an alliance of businesses and individuals that ensure the future of hunting and angling by committing their time and dollars to fish and wildlife. 1% of your time plus 1% of your money equals 2% for Conservation. 2% helps businesses and people pair with conservation causes to support things that fit what they care about. Whether you're into fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, 2% can help you not only start giving back to wildlife, but get certified for it. Getting 2% certified means you've made the same commitment as popular brands like Sitka, First Light, Stone Glacier, and Seek Outside in giving at least 1% of your time and dollars back to wildlife. But it's not just for outdoor companies. Breweries, contractors, coffee roasters, and even piano repair companies have earned 2% certification and stand out as leaders in their communities for doing so. Businesses that are committed to conservation deserve your business when you shop. Learn more about 2% for Conservation at fishandwildlife.org. That's fishandwildlife.org. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Average Conservationist Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Ewing, and this week is episode 34. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Dustin Diefendurfer, and Dustin is the founder of 2% Certified Mountain Tough Fitness. And today we get into a lot about health and wellness, especially as it pertains to preparing for backcountry hunting. It was really cool to kind of hear how, an idea or something as simple as fitness and being prepared for a backcountry hunt turned into what Dustin and his team have built over at Mountain Tough. They take a really unique approach to training their mountain toughers, their athletes. And one of the ways that you'll hear Dustin describe it is if you look at a professional athlete, and whether it's a, you know, if you look at a football player, for example, you know, specific positions are being trained very specifically for their job as it pertains to, you know, an offense or a defense. And they took that same approach and applied it to their athletes and to the world of backcountry hunting, and have produced some amazing programs to really help prepare a hunter for, you know, potentially a once in a lifetime tag that they draw. What started off as a program to really kind of get you ready for the hunt has turned into now there's a called a pre-hunt workout. There's a an in-season workout plan, and then there's a post-season workout plan to keep you really in the best possible shape throughout the course of the year and leading into your hunt. Recently, they've also released a 30-30 workout, which is 30 workouts that you can do at home with no equipment, which, you know, given the course of the last year, is something that a lot of people were really asking about and kind of yearning for. So they were able to put something together, and I'm actually just getting ready to start that this week. So I'm a little nervous because I know that these guys are some pretty badass athletes and mountain toughers that they're training over there. So a little nervous, but also really excited to give it a shot and see you know, what they've put together. Another really cool thing about Mountain Tough and what Dustin and the team have over there is the focus that they put on the mental aspect, the mental toughness in terms of backcountry hunts. And Dustin gets into that, and he's got some guys on his team there that have a very extensive background in training in mental toughness that he'll talk about as well. So it was a really cool episode. I find this type of stuff super interesting. So, I mean, I probably could have talked to Dustin for a lot longer than what we did, but I think it's a lot of really great information and hearing, you know, the passion that Dustin has not only for fitness and hunting, but how obviously conservation plays a part in all of that as well. So really fun episode this week. Hope you guys enjoy. All right. On the line with me today, I have the founder of 2% Certified Mountain Tough Fitness, Dustin Diefendurfer. Dustin, how are you today, man?
Good, man.
I appreciate you taking some time to sit down on the podcast. I know we had talked earlier this summer, and then we both kind of had to reschedule, and then obviously hunting season got in the way, and then the holidays and stuff. So I'm glad we're finally able to make some time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, there's kind of a lot that I want to get into today. I just mentioned that before we started recording here. But first, I kind of want to start and just kind of get an understanding or know about, or get to know a little bit more about your background as it pertains to the outdoors. So, like, what did the outdoors look like to you growing up, or when were you kind of first introduced to, you know, hunting and everything like that?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a Montana kid. I was born in Wyoming, but we only lived there about 6 months before I moved to Montana. So I've been in Montana my entire life, and my dad has 7 brothers, and okay. So I have a lot of uncles, and so hunting and fishing were just things that we did since, you know, I was born. So it was kind of wired right into our DNA. My dad was a diehard, passionate fly fisherman.
Okay.
And so most of my childhood I spent kind of palling around with him, fly fishing just across the Western United States. And it was kind of through that experience that I fell in love with the outdoors, and he wasn't super fired up about hunting, but because he'd got me hooked on the outdoors through fishing, as I got older, I really wanted to get into hunting bad, like as I approached like 10, 11, 12 years old. And kind of because he was from that fly fishing background, and he also grew up on a ranch. And so for him, like rifle hunting deer wasn't that exciting, because like on ranch life, just shooting a deer is kind of easy and it wasn't thrilling.
Pretty commonplace.
Yeah. So when we decided to kind of dive into hunting together as I was growing up, we kind of dove right into bow hunting elk, because he had some buddies that were doing it. He was really into shooting archery, and so we kind of dove head into to bow hunting elk when we started.
Yeah, and you know, I noticed that for a lot of guys, and it's not, you know, like a one for one by any means, but a lot of people who are passionate about fly fishing, they really love archery, you know, and that's not to say that they don't enjoy rifle hunting or anything like that, but I think it's, there's something about the technique, the difficulty, especially when you think about like archery hunting, like the close quarter nature of it, right? And needing to be, you know, sometimes, you know, depending on the animal, you know, 50, 60 yards of, you know, all the way down to, you know, 10 yards, depending upon the animal or the, you know, the hunt that you're on. But it's interesting that as you grew up around fly fishing, because my dad was the same way. He was a big fly fisherman. He's the one that got me into it when I was young. And, you know, we've been out west. I mean, I'm in the Midwest here, but we've been out west, you know, half dozen times when I was growing up doing some fly fishing and stuff like that. So it's cool to see that that kind of translated or kind of opened the door to, you know, an outdoor lifestyle for you at such a young age.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think there's just so much crossover in terms of like the technicality of it, mm-hmm. and just how difficult it is.
Yeah. Now, as far as your company, Mountain Tough Fitness, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
You bet. So Mountain Tough Fitness started in 2017, and we started based off the idea of training a backcountry hunter similar to how you would train an NFL athlete. So we got together and we looked around and we realized that there was no one that was treating a backcountry hunter with the specificity, like the specific nature of training like you would do in professional sports or like you would do in the military. And so we saw that kind of blue ocean in the marketplace in terms of, if you look at like an NFL offensive lineman, that individual is going to be trained in a very specific manner for their job, very mission specific. And that training is going to be very different from how they're going to train the wide receiver.
Right.
And so when we looked around, we didn't see anyone that was breaking down the mountain hunter and training them for that specific mission. And so that was really kind of the launch pad to the idea is, hey, that would be a really fun project. It'd be really fun to take a backcountry athlete's mission, especially, you know, mountain hunting 7 days solo, living out of your backpack, and then the skill set to get that animal out after the harvest was something that was really exciting to us. And it started as this idea that was brewing, and then Ara, who's the Mountain Tough COO, he was an Army Ranger, and then he taught at West Point. He finished up his career at the Pentagon, and so he had this huge passion for the physical science like I had, but he also has a tremendous heart for the mental side. So he's like, look, that's cool. It's cool to train someone specifically for the backcountry, but if we can also train their mindset and train them between the ears to handle the adversity they're going to face in the backcountry, now you kind of have a complete package that can really transform someone's life. And so it started as this idea, and we were like, hey, let's test it out. Bozeman's the place to do it.
Right.
We have a lot of diehard backcountry athletes here. So we started testing these programming concepts on local Bozeman backcountry hunters. And then Alex came on board shortly after. Alex was a Navy SEAL. He spent 9 years in the teams. And so he had the same mindset that Ara did, that if we can teach these guys how to become more mentally tough with the physical science of mission-specific training, then we have something really special. And So we spent a long time just testing the first program we ever put out on the market. And that was almost 4 years ago now. So now we have about 10,000 athletes across the world that are training with us every day. Wow. They're training through, 90% of them are training off their phone. Some people have the desktop version or the iPad. But basically, we have specific programs for the backcountry athlete, whether it's a home gear program or an in-gym program. And it's all the physical, but it's also got a lot of mental components in it as well.
Yeah. Now, I feel like, and maybe this is, and I've said this on a lot of previous podcasts, but it feels like with this day and age and with social media that there's a lot more things as it pertains to hunting have kind of come to the forefront. I think is probably the right way to put it. Like fitness, for example, right? Like with everyone taking these backcountry hunts a lot more seriously in terms of their fitness level. And I think that there's a lot of parallels between like what you had mentioned, right? And I think you kind of said it very well with like an athlete or something like that. But the part of your programs, and this is just, you know, looking through the website and stuff like that, is the emphasis that you guys put on the mental toughness, on the mental side of things. Because I think that's what, whether we're talking about, you know, professional athlete or, you know, a very serious backcountry, a successful backcountry hunter, is, you know, the 6 inches between your ears, right? It's all, so much of it is mental, is how long you can stay out there, how much further you can go than the next guy to get into the next drainage or, you know, whatever the case is, that really separates, you know, coming out heavy and coming out with an empty pack, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
So what is it that kind of, is it the partners that you guys have there that really kind of turned, like, what's the right way to put it, that wanted to put that emphasis on the mental side of things just based on their background?
No, I think it was, like a team synergy around one foundation. Cause we decided early on as a team that mental toughness was going to be the backbone of everything we did. And then we were going to add the physical on top of that. So I think from Ara and Alex's military perspective, it was everything. And then from my backcountry hunting perspective, it was everything. I just knew that from growing up in Montana and watching the people that were successful consistently versus the people that weren't successful at all or were sporadically successful. I knew that like the consistently successful hunters that I watched throughout my lifetime were the ones that were extremely mentally strong. And so since that was my foundation and it was also theirs, that's kind of been our bread and butter since day one.
Yeah. And we touched on it a little bit before we recorded there, but I was saying, so I played a sport in college. I played football in college, and like during the winters we would have like your winter conditioning, your we used to call them winter workouts, right? And it was 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday for, I don't know, probably 3 months before like we got into like spring practice and stuff like that. And I remember that our coach at the time was kind of old school, and his whole like goal during these winter workouts was mental toughness. He's like, you know, I don't care if you're stronger, if you're faster, he's like, all that helps. He's like, but if you're not mentally tougher than your opponent, he's like, there's going to come a time when you need to call on that, you know, mental toughness, or, you know, whenever, and you're going to be prepared for it. Right. And at the time I remember thinking like, oh, this is ridiculous. Right. Like we don't like mental toughness. Like we're all out there for the same thing. Like we know what it takes to win and stuff like that if you get behind. But as I get older and as I, you know, an adult and into my adult life, it's amazing how much I look back on those experiences and think, you know, like I did that stuff, you know, like, you know, throwing up 3-4 times a week at 6 a.m. because you're running or lifting weight. I mean, we would carry hay bales, you know, around like an indoor track. I mean, we would just do the most outlandish things that didn't make us better football players by any stretch of the imaginations, except for mentally tough. So that's one thing that I mean, I just said it, but how much that I really like about, you know, your company and, you know, the foundation of what you guys stand for.
It's cool. I really love it. And I love that for us, you know, a lot of our team meetings and brainstorming sessions, we get super fired up because someone will come into Mountain Tough, whether they come in locally or they purchase an online program, and they're purchasing that program or they're starting that training because they have some big trip planned. So they might be going to Alaska on a goat hunt and they don't want to fail. They don't want to struggle. There's a lot of fear around the altitude.
Sure.
And so that part's really cool. But I think our favorite part is it's almost like a trick. We get so excited because that mental toughness they're going to gain and that lifestyle change is so much bigger than hunting. So they're going to have life skills. They're going to be a better father. They're going to be a better friend. They're going to be a better husband. And they'll probably be a much better boss or employee. So it's kind of cool that hunting is just one tiny event that led them to start that process. But the big picture is so much bigger than that.
Yeah, that's a very, very good way to look at it, because at any point in your life, you can, when you come up, you know, against like a hurdle or something, whether it's professionally, personally, you know, in the outdoor space, whatever the case is, you can kind of look back on that experience, at least in my case, and then, you know, in your athlete's case, you know, what they're going through in their training, and say, you know, this is nothing. Like, I got this. I've done worse. I've been in worse situations that I've had to overcome, even if it was only for, you know, one workout or, you know, a week's worth of workouts or whatever the case is, right? They can look back on that experience, dig down deep and figure out what it was that helped them get them through that particular time and apply that in whatever the situation that they're in. So that's the looking at it as more of like a life skill, let's call it, you know, being mentally tough, I think is a very good way to put it.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's kind of how mental toughness works is exactly how you just mentioned it. Is most people, they'll feel a level of pain and it'll really freak them out. They're like, oh, I've never had my heart rate this high. I want to throw up. But then they'll get through that experience. 5 minutes after that experience, they feel fine. And then when they feel that again the second time, it's like no big deal. They're like, I've been here before. I know I'm going to recover fast. I know in 5 minutes after I rest, I'm going to feel fine. And so it's kind of this cumulative effect of life experiences. And I think the more of those experiences we have, the more successful we are in these really chaotic life situations, whether it's a disaster on that Alaska hunt, or maybe it's a car wreck in town on your way to work. Right. If we have a lot of those experiences built up where we pushed ourselves, then we're able to handle them a lot better.
Yeah. And it's funny, like when you're talking about like all of these kind of life experiences accumulating and kind of building that mental toughness over time, it just reminds me of a lot of like different things I've seen or listened to on podcasts with former military guys talking about that. And then obviously with, you know, the guys that you have on staff there that are, you know, have trained from a military perspective at the highest levels, it definitely makes a lot of sense. And I can see the correlation between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So now speaking of some of the guys you have on staff there, I mean, you kind of touched on some of their military backgrounds, but you know, when I was looking at the website earlier, you know, one was a former Army Ranger, one was a former Navy SEAL. I mean, in terms of experience, I mean, that's some pretty heavy hitters. How was it that you guys all kind of came together, or did you know each other prior to starting the company, or how did that all work?
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I feel so fortunate for our team. I mean, our team is so cool, and it's just kind of a miracle how it all came together. Because, you know, Alex was a Navy SEAL and Ara was a Ranger, and then he also taught Rangers for 21 years. And then the fourth training staff member we have is Jimmy, who we call him the legend, because he's been personally training athletes in Bozeman for 14 years. And he was kind of like, if you were in Bozeman, he was the guy you would go see if you were getting ready for like Everest or something like that. And how we all came together was we actually all met in the gym. And so I would go into the gym, I'd bump into Ara, I knew Jimmy, and we started kind of talking about this idea around, you know, what if we took this mountain training to a whole new level? And everyone was just on board from day one and just came together really quickly.
Yeah. Now, from a fitness or exercising workout background, what does that look like for you? I mean, were you, you know, training guys prior to starting Mountain Tough, or how did that work?
My background is kind of unique in terms of how this all started. So I was extremely into bow hunting elk. And so as I went through college and shortly after college, I would travel to all the different Western states with my buddies, and we would basically bow hunt elk from September to October 15th in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, New Mexico, Nevada. We try to, you know, hit as many states as we could. And this was before I was married and before
kids.
Yeah. And so we were just into it. And I was always really fascinated about how we were performing and the things that affected that, whether it was how we were training or what we ate. And then after I got married, I got really into running. So my wife was the passionate runner. She's the one of the individuals that just gets like the joy out of running, loves running. And so early on in our marriage, we started doing a ton of marathons. So 1 year we had this idea, we were gonna run a marathon a month. So we did a marathon for the year. And then that kind of translated into ultra running. And so we started dabbling in like the 50Ks throughout the Western United States in the mountains. And that's where I really fell in love with this mental toughness concept. So she was the one who loved running. I did not like running that much at all. But I loved this like mind game of an ultra marathon in the mountains, because it's such a mind game of everything's telling you to quit, everything's telling you it's too far, your body wants to stop, but you have to convince your mind to keep going. So that's where I really early on fell in love with the kind of the study of mindset. But it's also what was the origin of Mountain Tough, because what happened is, it's kind of interesting, but through too much running, I thought it was affecting my backcountry hunting negatively. And that's where we really started talking about, there's got to be a better way to do this. And what was happening is, because we were running so much, we weren't doing any strength training, I felt like I was almost too lean and not enough strength for like the heavy packs, packing out a bull. And so that's where we really dreamt up the idea of, what if we combined like the endurance aspect of an ultra runner with the strength training of like an Army Ranger? That's probably the sweet spot where a backcountry hunter needs to live. And that was the early on concept of Mountain Tough, is kind of finding that balance.
Okay. So now take me through, let me ask, what all programs do you guys offer for your athletes?
So right now we cover the entire year, and we started with preseason prep only. So we started with this idea that if you're going to Alaska on October 1st, we want to train you for 4 months before you leave for that trip. And that was our launch to the market. We're like, if you give us 4 months, we'll get an athlete ready to be very successful and feel good on that trip. And then kind of like you mentioned, we realized in year two of Mountain Tough, like football, that there's a much better way to do things for an athlete to be highly successful. They need to do specific things in the off season and specific things in the preseason. So now we cover a backcountry hunter for 12 months. So we have preseason prep, and then when they finished preseason. Now a lot of Western hunters are going to hunt September, October, November. So now we have in-season training where you still want to keep that athlete really healthy, but you don't want them sore all the time for the hunt. So that's kind of in-season. And then we also have post-season training where a lot of backcountry hunters in the West, they come out of season really skinny and really beat up. And so now's our time to kind of restore that athlete, pack a bunch of strength on them. And then we have spring training. So spring training is to take, because a lot of times if you do too much post-season training, you'll get bulky and slow. And so now spring training, we need to get that athlete ready for the mountains again. So for our in-gym training, we have the 12 months of daily training, 5 days a week. And then we also, we have a lot of stuff adapted now around the no gear. So we have programs that people can do in their house, in hotel rooms, in living rooms, for athletes that are traveling, or there's just a lot of athletes now that just can't make it to the gym or don't have a gym.
Yeah, and so the no gear is something I want to come back to. But now, as far as like putting these programs together, you know, what does that process look like? I mean, how long does it take from the time that you and your team sit down, you put a plan together, to, you know, when you launch it to the rest of your athletes? I mean, I'm sure you have, you know, a core group of athletes there that you're kind of testing all of these programs out on. So what does that process look like in between?
It takes a long time. So one example is, like, we've been working on a wildland firefighter program now for 3 seasons.
Okay.
And it still hasn't hit the market yet. And a lot of that is built for smoke jumpers and hot shots. And kind of the way we create every single program we make is we call the Bozeman location the lab. And so we won't release anything to the market that hasn't been tested on real people. And so we conceptualize the program based on our previous experiences. And then we bring in specific athletes to test it. And then we see how they're feeling. We see what progress they're making. And then we kick them out into the hills, see how they're feeling in the mountains. And then we tweak it, rebuild it, and then send them back out in the hills. So like preseason prep took 2 years. Like this wildland firefighting program is probably going to take 4 because we had to wait for those guys to go out on fire season, see how they felt, see how we can make it better. So it's a lot of conceptualizing, testing, and then redesigning. It takes some time.
Yeah, and I'd imagine, especially for something like smoke jumpers, hot shots, you're, you know, while they may live at altitude and are used to that, when you throw in, you know, the smoke from wildfires and things like that, that's a whole other element that I'd imagine has got to be tough to account for, and probably why, you know, it's going to take, you know, like you said, probably 4 seasons of really fine tuning before it's ready for the masses.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been really interesting because we, you know, early on we thought, this is a good example of the testing. Early on we thought that like a hot shot would be very, very similar to a backcountry hunter because they're hiking in the same terrain for multiple days with a weighted pack.
Right.
Very similar to what a hunter needs to do. But what we realized right away is a hot shot needs an incredible amount of upper body endurance that a hunter doesn't necessarily need, because a hot shot is usually running a chainsaw all day, or they're using a Pulaski and digging line all day.
Right.
And a hot shot also never gets the recovery that a hunter gets. So a lot of these hot shots will be out for 21 days in a row, which is uncommon in backcountry hunting. So it's cool when you look at it, very mission specific, how there could be some really unique training for very similar people.
Yeah, and like a wildland firefighter, I mean, they're working against the clock too, right? I mean, they're out there with a, like you said, a very mission specific, a very, you know, definitive task in front of them. While, you know, a backcountry hunter has the same thing, but, you know, you can hike for a couple hours, and if you get tired, you can just, you know, you can sit in glass, right? Catch your breath, you know, have a snack, whatever it is. And I'd imagine as a, you know, as a firefighter out there, that, you know, you take breaks when the situation allows, not necessarily when you get tired, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that intrigues me quite a bit, and we just talked about it, is the no equipment, the, I think it's called the 30-30 workout that you guys have.
Yeah.
So now, is that a program that, like, so let's say you have someone, and obviously I feel like this is a good time for us to talk to with the New Year's and, you know, New Year's resolutions, and whether you're a backcountry hunter or not, you know, just, it always seems like a vast majority of people want to get back in shape in the new year, yeah, right? You know, they kind of splurge through the holidays and everything. So is this, are your programs something that you can take someone who doesn't have, let's say, a very good base level for their fitness and can kind of jump right into? Or, you know, is this something that, you know, you would advise like an athlete who's thinking about joining Mountain Tough to say, hey, you know, maybe spend a couple months, just get your fitness level, you know, up from wherever it is now, and then jump into one of these more specific programs?
So we, the way that we built them is to handle most fitness levels. And so we have that ramp up phase that you just mentioned is built inside of each program. So there'll be a ramp up phase for like preseason, postseason, in season, and spring. So that way, if someone's never done one of our programs before, we can take them through a path to get them ready inside of our own program. And then also each day, so every daily video you watch before you start your workout, you have the option to complete that workout at a beginner, intermediate, or elite fitness level. So we have a lot of people that come in at the beginner level, and then about month two, you'll see them move up to that intermediate level. And then we have a ton of athletes now that they'll come back through the programming in year two at that elite level when they might have went through it at the beginner level the first time. Okay. So we're able to cover a lot of athletes that way.
Yeah, and I would imagine, because I know, and I'm kind of speaking for probably a lot of people here, is that sometimes when you look at like a fitness program or joining something like Mountain Tough, like it can be a little intimidating, a little daunting, because, you know, you don't necessarily know what's in the program, right? You have an idea of what your fitness is, but you're like, man, am I going to bite off more than I can chew here? So the fact that you have, you know, varying levels of difficulty in the same workout, I would think would give a lot of people peace of mind, or at least a little bit of comfort knowing that they're not just going to get kind of thrown to the wolves, thrown to the, you know, the expert level or the elite level, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And it really helps prevent injury too. So someone can come into the programming and ramp up in a nice progression and not get too banged up. And so that keeps people super healthy and prevents a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and that's especially, you know, I think about as I get further along in my life, I know that, like, kind of going back to when I was in college and working out and stuff is, you know, at that point it was almost like a job, right? I mean, you know, especially like during the winter, you're doing it 5 days a week, and you have spring season, and then you get into summer workouts, which is, you know, 5 days a week, and then you get into, you know, camp in the fall or the summer, and then you get into the season. So you're working out all year round, right? And it never feels like there's really a break. So, like, I think about, you know, my journey, and like post college, like, I didn't want to see a weight room. Like, I couldn't even watch football for like a year after I got done playing, because I didn't want to see it at all. I was just like over it, and I was done with it. So, like, as I get into, you know, into my adult life and everything like that, like, what I like about fitness programs just kind of in general is they don't have to think about it, right? Like, you can open the app, like you said, or, you know, the iPad, the desktop, whatever you're using, and it just tells you what to do. You can kind of shut your brain off, follow instructions for 45 minutes, an hour, whatever the case is, and then you can be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that part as well. And I love the community aspect too inside of the programming, because you know that all these other athletes, all these other Mountain Toughers are right there with you.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was just going to say that I think, especially as you get older, like the accountability aspect, like you just talked about, the community is so key, because it almost goes back to like that mental toughness thing. Like, you know that if you're not doing it, you know, there's other athletes, there's other Mountain Toughers out there who are doing it, and you almost feel like you're going to let them down if you skip a workout, or you don't kind of, you know, bust your ass on that workout. You kind of skate through it, or whatever the case is. So, yeah, I really like that community, that accountability aspect of it.
Yeah, it's huge. And that's when we first started, we started training all these athletes in the Bozeman lab. And it was such a special, special environment. And when we decided to put it out online, we did not want to lose that community feel.
Right.
Because like showing up and seeing all your buddies is a huge part of it. And then your buddies knowing that you did the workout is a huge part of it. And then comparing scores sometimes is a huge part of taking someone to a new level, and getting them to work out in a team takes a lot of people to a new level. So when we went online, we didn't want to lose that. So when we built the online platform, we built the entire thing around community so that everyone could talk to each other, support each other, encourage each other, see each other. So that's been a huge, huge kind of backbone of that online presence.
Yeah, and I think that's great for anyone, especially that may be kind of like, even if let's say they're using Mountain Tough just to get back in shape, maybe they don't plan on going on a Western hunt, but they like, you know, what Mountain Tough stands for, you know, that they offer, you know, no equipment type workouts, or at home, you know, in gym, at home, you know, home gym type workouts. Like there's something for everyone, regardless of, you know, what kind of equipment they have access to. And that's something that's really cool. And you know, when I think about, you know, working, when I work out, and I work out at home here, and I have a very, you know, limited array of like fitness equipment, some kettlebells, jump rope, you know, just kind of the basics, and a treadmill, right? And and when I was looking at your equipment exercise, I'm like, man, this is something that I could really kind of get into.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of been funny how that all came to where it is now for us, because when we built preseason, postseason in year two of Mountain Tough's history, we very much emphasized that to train for peak performance, you were going to need some gym equipment. So to pack on a significant amount of strength, you do need some gym equipment.
Right.
And so back then we weren't thinking much about no gear at all. And then as this big base of Mountain Toughers was built and they started training with us year long, they actually started calling and emailing a lot, asking for workouts they could do on the road. So we would get a lot of emails about, hey, I travel 2 weeks out of the month. What can I do in my hotel room? And so the 30-30 was kind of built to solve that problem. It's like, hey, here's 30 workouts you can do over the next 3 months on the road. They're in a progression. So, you know, it's going to take them from easier workouts to harder workouts over 6 weeks. But at least it's an option for them to have in conjunction with their other programming.
Right.
And then it's been fascinating because, you know, pre-COVID, everyone was buying that program, like workouts in a pinch. Like, I'm doing Mountain Tough, but I also have 30-30 in case I'm traveling for a month. And then post-COVID, it's definitely, it's the program that a majority of Mountain Toughers moved into because all the gyms got shut down. And then a really cool thing happened. It was like, you know, maybe we don't need as much equipment as we thought, and maybe there's a lot of benefits to having a cool little home gym. You know, my kids are home, I'm working at home, I'm saving some money, I'm not driving as far. And so after we kind of saw that, we dumped a lot of resources into building additional home gym no equipment programs. So there's the No Gear 60 and the 4570, and it's been really cool to see, you know, that kind of take off.
Yeah. And, when you were talking about like being able to like work out from home and stuff like that, like, you know, we have like trampolines and stuff, 'cause we've got two young kids that we can kind of just set them aside while my wife and I, you know, work out or anything like that. And it's amazing what you can get accomplished with very little equipment, whether it's, you know, a couple kettlebells, you know, just body weight type exercises. It's really cool to kind of see that. And obviously there's, you know, a lot more that goes into it than just the working out. There's obviously the diet side of it, which you guys offer as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a full, like robust nutrition program inside of the app. And our program is designed in an educational format. And so our big experience was that every single person reacts really differently to different nutrition concepts. And so we didn't want to push just any one concept. We wanted to kind of work with you and break down the science. So ours is all educational based. So it breaks down all the fundamentals and then guides you through kind of setting up your own system.
Yeah. And I think from like anyone that's looking to kind of take the next step in their fitness, whether it's, you know, to go from, you know, feeling fit to the kind of that elite level, or whether you've been sitting on the couch for the past 10 years and you want to, you know, you all of a sudden get a kick in the pants and you're like, all right, I got to change some stuff here, is the diet, in my opinion, is way more difficult than the working out side of things. It takes way more discipline and, you know, going back to the mental toughness to not say, I'm just going to grab some fast food tonight, instead of saying, you know what, I've got meat in the freezer. Let's make a steak, or, you know, whatever the case is, and going, you know, going the right route.
Yeah. It definitely takes a lot of mental toughness early on, and then it becomes such a lifestyle. It's kind of, you just got to get over that initial hump.
Yeah. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here. Now, obviously, I mentioned it in the intro there that Mountain Tough is 2% certified. So what was it that made you guys decide to, you know, become 2% certified? I mean, obviously, you know, being right there in Bozeman and where 2% is located, you know, tell me about that.
Yeah, I think for us, it was such a no-brainer that we just knew we were going to do it. And I think a lot of that is because we're in Montana. I think a lot of that is because we're in Bozeman. And I think a lot of that was because of growing up here, you just get to watch the hunting is conservation motto. You just get to watch it lived out over and over again. So growing up, I watched so many places turn into amazing, you know, elk habitat through RMEF. I watched so many random fields around our house growing up turn into amazing pheasant hunting habitats through Pheasants Forever. And so for me, it didn't take much thought. It was like, I've witnessed the hunting is conservation happen so many times that I knew right away that I wanted our company involved in conservation in every way possible. And then as I got older, and, you know, just palling around with the guys from like Wild Sheep and the Goat Alliance, when you watch it kind of in front of your own eyes, it's amazing to see, you know, these places that never have sheep now, they're doing great. So that stuff, those experiences that we get to see in our own backyard, made it a pretty easy decision.
Yeah. And it's funny, like I, you know, just through like social media and stuff, I know that Jared Frazier, the executive director of 2%, like he had kind of a last minute opportunity to go on this goat hunt. And yeah. I remember I was out there and this was right before, I think you and I had spoken, and it was right before you were going on your elk hunt. And I was going to be out in Bozeman, and I was planning to stop by. And then if you've ever taken a cross country trip with two young kids in a motorhome, things just don't always work out as you planned. And, you know, I wasn't able to stop in, cause I know you had mentioned to stop by the lab and, you know, meet you and meet the guys and say hello. But I know that Jared was in there and he was telling me that, it was no joke. He was like, I think he had me thrown up like in the first day that I was there.
Yeah, he was getting ready for that really cool trip, that management goat hunt in the park. It's cool.
So, and then I know like Lyle Hebel over at Stone Glacier, he's actually, I just recorded an episode with him for the podcast not too long ago, and I know he's a big advocate for Mountain Tough. So it's cool to see, you know, other people who are involved in 2%, supporting other people that are involved in 2%, whether it's, you know, like Jared or Lyle, and I'm sure there's plenty of others. Those are just two that kind of jump out to me right away.
Yeah. I think a huge part of it too is as you get a little bit older in life, you start thinking about it more than I did when I was younger. I think when I was younger, I took a lot of kind of like the great blessings we have in the West for granted. And now as I've gotten a little bit older and I have two young daughters, it's like, man, I really want them to have some of these experiences that I was able to have. Like, we can drive 30 minutes from the house and hunt elk on national land. I do not want that to go away. And we spend so much time at work that it's just kind of a no-brainer for us to make conservation just part of our work lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that. You said, you know, now that you have two young daughters, you want them to be able to experience, you know, all the same things you were able to growing up there in Montana. And, you know, I've only been doing this podcast for, you know, 7-8 months now, but that what you just said there is definitely a reoccurring theme for why people get involved with, whether it's 2% or just conservation in general, is they have kids and then they almost they look back on their childhood, right? And they kind of think like, man, I took all this stuff for granted, you know, that they got to do with their dad or their uncle. And they're like, man, I don't want that to happen for my kids. I want them to be able to have what I had, and it gets them involved. And I think that's such a cool thing. And I think it's definitely like a maturity thing, you know, like as you get older, you realize all the things, like, you know, it's like growing up and, you know, your parents always are telling you to do things, you know, why do I have to do this? You know, and it's the answer I always got was because I said so. And then you get older, you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. Right. And it makes sense. So it kind of applying that same train of thought a little bit to conservation. And I love it.
It's cool. It's really cool. And I think when you get older, you realize how much the outdoors helped you in life. So you realize, you know, spending time in the outdoors, like what it can do for your soul, what it can do to recharge your batteries. It builds a lot of mental toughness in the outdoors. You learn a lot. You learn a lot about yourself. And so I think as you get older and realize that's what it kind of does for your heart, you definitely want your kids to go through as much of that as they can.
Yeah. And when you get older and you think back on your childhood and, you know, your teens and everything like that, like the memories that stick out the most are probably the ones spent outdoors, regardless of what you were doing. You were probably outside. You weren't sitting in a movie theater or sitting in front of a, you know, PlayStation or something like that. Like you were outdoors, you were in nature. And those are things that, yeah, you can't get unless you're out there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So now what are some of the organizations that Mountain Tough is giving back their time and money to?
So our big focus in 2020 was Wild Sheep and the Goat Alliance. And so a lot of that was related to just them both being local in Bozeman. And, you know, we knew a lot of folks working at those organizations. And then a lot of us just were passionate, you know, sheep and goat hunters when we drew the tags. And so that was our big emphasis for 2020, and we'll continue that throughout 21 as well.
Yeah, and that seems pretty fitting. I mean, I think just given, you know, Mountain Tough and what they stand for, supporting two companies like that, I mean, two of the tougher, if not the toughest hunts you're going to find, especially here, you know, in North America, were for goat and sheep. I mean, that totally aligns, and it makes total sense to me on why you guys would support them.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, all the wild places we want to train people for, the majority of them, you know, are probably going on a goat or sheep hunt. Even there, you know, there's a lot of hardcore elk hunts and deer hunts as well. But there's, you know, there's no goats down in the foothills. So that most goats and sheep hunters have to be in good shape.
Yeah. So now do you have, I know we're early on in 2021 here, but do you have any big hunts or anything like that planned for yourself?
In 21, I don't have anything big. I drew a goat tag in 20, which was cool. It took me, my dad helped me start putting in for the Montana lottery when I was 12, which was the first year you could apply back then. You can apply earlier now, but so I drew it when I was 36 years old. So it took me 24 years to draw a Montana mountain goat tag. And that was last year. And that, it was just the most amazing adventure ever. We had the unit that I drew, we had 330% snowpack, so it was a fluke where it dumped a lot of snow early.
Yeah.
And so we did most of that hunt. We either had snowshoes, or a lot of times we would skin in and ski out, or skin in and snowboard out.
Okay.
So it was a pretty wild adventure.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, skinning up a mountain to go goat hunting, and then, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not staying up there, you know, just throwing the skis back on and heading down. And that's a pretty cool element to add to any hunt, really.
Yeah, we had some pretty wild days. Yeah. We learned pretty quickly that it's really hard to ski with a heavy pack on. We had a lot of pretty good wipeouts.
Okay, so I'm a big skier as well. So like I'm just picturing this, like, because I've skied with a backpack on before, but you're talking, yeah, you know, 5-10 pounds of shit you probably don't even need that's in your backpack, right? But then, yeah, to throw, you know, 75, 100 pounds on there, whatever the case is, and try to, it's not like you're skiing groomers, right? You're not, you're in some backcountry stuff, so it's already tough to begin with, but then you're throwing on this weight going the complete opposite direction of what you're trying to do. And yeah, that's that's got to be tough.
Oh, it's so funny because Nate is the Mountain Tough content director, and he's, you know, he's our phenomenal photo and video guy, and so he was on all those hunts, and he grew up just being a really passionate snowboarder, so he's really, really good at snowboarding, and neither of us thought about it our first time down. We didn't think about the heavy pack being weird at all. We were just like, oh, we'll just cruise out of here. And I remember he went first, and his first turn, that pack just drug him down so hard, nothing expecting at all, and he just took a pretty big tumble.
Oh, well, Dustin, hey man, I really appreciate you taking some time. I know you probably got to get back to some athletes there at the lab, but yeah, again, I appreciate you making some time, telling us about Mountain Tough, and, you know, what you guys stand for, the work you guys are doing for conservation, and just, you know, not only that, but really how you're helping, you know, change people's lives for the better through, you know, through health and fitness.
You bet. Yeah. Anytime we can help out, love to help out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey man, if I don't talk to you, good luck the rest of the year, and happy new year.
Yeah. Thanks, Marcus.
All right. Thanks, Dustin. All right. Well, a big thanks to Dustin for hopping on the podcast today and telling us more about Mountain Tough. I'd also like to thank our partners over at Stone Glacier. Be sure and check them out at stoneglacier.com. Also like to thank the partners over at 2%. And if you're interested in learning more about 2% for conservation, you can visit their website, fishandwildlife.org. And there you can see all the certified brands, including Mountain Tough, that have made the commitment to conservation that you should support when you shop for your coffee or your gear, guiding services, your workout regimens, whatever the case is. I also encourage you guys to give 2% a follow on social media, where they're going to post nothing but positive content. So you'll enjoy having, you know, their conservation focused posts in your feed. So again, if you'd like to learn more about 2% for conservation, you can look for them online on social media or at fishandwildlife.org. Thanks for joining me this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember, stay safe out there, and conservation starts with you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.